Who can tell me what series we've been on? What is the series that we've been on? I can't speak. Yes.
That's life.
How did you know that? Oh, hey. Yes, we've been on the That's Life series, which is a series. It's kind of a hodgepodge series of a bunch of different stuff. As you'll see tonight, is going to be a lot different than the last couple weeks. But the bottom line is our first series, we talked about authentic Christianity and what that was like. Who can tell me the three parts of authentic Christianity? You guys should know these. Yes. Tell me one of the parts. Say that again. Yes. Christ-like actions and
thinking.
That's right. Christ-like actions and thinking. And what's the second part?
Being empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, cheater. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to live like Christ without dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And three is?
Motivated by the desire to be glory to God.
That motivations matter and that our goal in life, our life should be about honoring God and bringing Him glory. Yes, and we've been talking about ways that you can do that, practical ways you can do that in your everyday life. We looked in the first series at Psalm 90:12, which talked about numbering our days. You guys remember that? Which is looking at our life and going, you know what? I only have a limited number of days on this planet. I don't have an unlimited number, and I need to look at each day as important because I've only got a certain number of them. And then Ephesians 5 said, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And then he explains how to live wise. He says, make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. That every moment of our days, we should be thinking through, is this the best use of my time today? Am I really using my days wisely? And so as we've been looking at that, 2 weeks ago we looked at what? Anybody remember?
Two weeks ago.
You can tell me last week and say. First one in the series. Anybody? We looked at solo time. One-on-one time with God. And how important that is to have that one-on-one time with God. And what were the three suggestions I gave you guys that night? You can do anything during that time, but
praying
is one of them.
Read the Bible
and meditation. Meditation, turning over God's thoughts over and over in our mind, chewing on it. And last week we looked at what?
Taking God to school.
Yes. And what did we learn about ourselves last week or see about ourselves last week?
You're not different. I mean, you are different, so don't hide it.
You are different, so don't hide it. How are you different? You are, he gave a description of a couple things. Hey, would you guys sit on the ground for me, please? A description of a couple things. He described us as what? Jesus did. Described us as something that preserves and seasons.
Salt.
Yes. And we are light. Light in a dark world. That we are different. And honestly, it's great to be sharing the gospel with our friends, and we need to be doing that. But honestly, the biggest way that we can impact our friends is just being who God has made us to be. That if we're living in dependence upon Him, if we're having those Christ-like thinking and actions, people will notice. It's different. It's so different than what the world has. And so that's the way to impact your friends. Tonight, we are going to talk about cheating, in case you didn't catch that from the question or from the little thing at the top of your handout, which actually says not doing whatever it takes, so you might not know what that means. But we're going to talk about cheating. How many of you guys have ever cheated, even once? Okay? Totally not unusual. Duke University in 2007 did a study that found 75% of high school students admit to having cheated. The interesting thing is that same study showed that 90% of people said that they had copied someone else's paper.
That's still
Totally different? Okay. You might think that, but we're going to actually look at the nature of cheating. I can tell you for a fact, the people surveyed don't really know what cheating is, because to say that there's that 15% difference between 75% and 90%, copying someone's homework is cheating. Well, as long as it fits the definition that we'll look at tonight. So lots of people do it. I was going to say everyone does it, but many, 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 many people do it. And you guys probably know, how many of you guys know someone who has cheated? Okay. How many of you guys have ever seen someone cheat? How many of you guys have ever let someone cheat off of you?
Yeah.
It is everywhere. You guys can, you don't do this, but you can hop on YouTube and type in, how do I cheat? And there's like 50 million videos, not 50 million, but there are a lot of videos where people just posted videos up there and said, this is a really good way to cheat. And there are seriously millions of people that are downloading these videos every day to find out how to cheat. And they're pretty, actually, most of them are pretty ingenious. But it's everywhere. You can hop on the internet, you can go to websites, and there are tons of websites out there that you can cheat. Here's one of them. It's called schoolsucks.com. This one, see right here, it says, what topic is your term paper on? You put in this little search and you say, my topic is, cancer, California Gold Rush. There you go. You type that in and you click search and you pay someone for their paper that they wrote and you turn that in as your own. Huge, huge industry, by the way. They make tons of money. And the funny thing is they have this little testimonial side. And people are saying things like, I only ever turn in papers from schoolsucks.com. And this website saved my grade. And all this stuff where it's just kind of accepted that people just do this. Not a big deal. And especially not a big deal if I don't get caught. If no one knows about it. As long as no one knows about it, it's not that big of a deal. But we are going to look tonight and see if God thinks it's a big deal. Because maybe he doesn't think it's a big deal. I don't know. Let's take a look at it. Let's pray first, and then we'll get into what we're talking about. God, I just want to come to you tonight. We want to come to you tonight and offer ourselves to you. And we just want to look into your word and understand what you say. And we want to live lives pleasing to you and honoring to you. And God, I pray that as we look at your word tonight, that if there's any attitudes that we need to change, if there's any behavior we need to change, I just pray that you would help us see that and help us to trust you in that and to give that over to you if we need to do that. I pray this all in your name. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Flip your Bibles open to Acts chapter 4. Anybody have a page number there? By the way, I always forget to say this, but if any of you guys don't have a good translation of the Bible at your house, something that's easy for you to read, you are welcome to take one of these Bibles with you. 747. Open up to page 747. That's a plane, actually, 747. Yeah, thanks. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32, says this. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. This is talking about the early church. This is right after the early church of Jesus was formed. The early Christians were getting together for the first time around this time. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy people among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from from the sails and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. They're starting to describe here this, which I think is a really cool time in church history, because it's right at the beginning, and what they were doing at this time, and I thought about this, and I don't think it would work today, but I think it was cool at the time what they were doing, that they were taking everything that they owned, and they were saying, I don't own anything. Everything I own, you own, and you own, and you own. We all just own all of our stuff together. And if anybody has any need, you give money to those people. And people would take land and houses and you know, expensive things. They were expensive back then, just like they're expensive now. And they would sell these things, and they would take that money, and they would put it in this big pool. And it was all by choice. It was all willingly giving up their stuff for everyone else. It wasn't something you were obligated to do. It wasn't something that were going, hey, if you want to be a part of the church, you need to give up everything that you own to the church. Put it in this big pool. But people were willingly coming and doing this. Pretty cool, I think. He gives an example here of a guy named Joseph. He's saying everybody was pooling their money together and pooling their resources together, and they would sell their land and sell their houses. And here's an example of someone who did that. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which, by the way, if you guys know anything about Barnabas, this is the Barnabas that traveled around with Paul. They called him Barnabas because he was this encouraging guy. That he came and he sold a piece of land and he brought the money and put it into this big pool. But then we get to chapter 5, and we see kind of a contrast to what Barnabas did. Continuing on in verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet." So he's drawing a contrast here. He's like, there's this guy who did what everyone was doing, which was selling their stuff, bringing it, and giving the money. Willingly. Keep that in mind. It wasn't by obligation. They were just going, I want to do this. And this guy, Ananias, and his wife, Sapphira, do sort of the same thing, where they sell land, but what they did is they kept part of it back, and they went and gave part of it to the apostles. And you might go, okay, what's the big deal? It was voluntary anyway. If he wanted to keep back part of his money and only give part of his money, no big deal. But the key is that as he gave his money, he was giving it in the context of what everyone else was doing. See, what he did is he went, oh, I'm going to sell this piece of land for, you know, $100 or whatever, okay? And I'm going to bring $80 and give it and say, hey, you know what? I sold my piece of land, and here's the money I got for it. He was coming and giving his money under the pretext that he was doing what everyone else was doing. But he was hiding part of what he was doing. He wasn't being honest. We're actually going to see his wife does the same thing. And honestly, some of you guys might go, well, even that is not that big of a deal. It's his money. Who cares if he told them that, you know, it was all the money? They won't know. It's not going to hurt anybody. At least he gave the money that he did, right? At least they have that $80. But the issue here is deceit, is the word that's used. Deceit means an attempt to hide the truth. Lying can be deceit, because when you lie, you're obviously trying to hide the truth. You're saying something that's not true and not saying something that is true. But deceit is broader than that. It's any attempt to go, you know what, I'm only going to say part of the truth because I want to keep some of it hidden. It's any attempt to hide truth. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was going, you know what, I'm going to bring this money and I'm going to tell them that this is all the money I got, even though it wasn't all the money he had gotten for the sale. Cheating, guys, is deceit. The nature of cheating is that I am going to turn in a paper with my name on it, which is, by the way, if it has my name on it, I'm claiming I wrote it, in case you didn't know that. You know, sometimes we try to fool ourselves. I do a lot of that. But we put our name on it, and we give our paper in. We're saying, this is my paper. So if I go to schoolsucks.com and type in and get a paper, or I borrow one of my friend's papers from last year and put my name on it, retype it, whatever, and turn that in, it's deceit. I'm saying I wrote this paper when I did not. If you turn in a test and say, this is my work, you know, you're turning this in, you're going, this is my work. But really, you got the answers off of a piece of paper that you had in your pocket, or you got your answer off of your neighbor, or your friend texted you on your phone the answer to number 32. It's not your work. If you turn in a project, you're saying, I did that. I created that. But if, like happened to me a lot when I was a kid, if your parents did the project and you went to sleep, my mom did that for me a lot, and you turn that project in, it's deceit. You're saying, this is my work, when it's not your work. And if you don't think so, if you go, well, yeah, okay, that's not really trying to hide the truth, that's not really doing it, then you know what? Let me tell you to do this. Turn in that paper that you got from schoolsucks.com and tell your teacher. That's okay. If you go, hey, you know what? I know this has my name on it, but I downloaded it off the internet last night. That's not trying to hide the truth. Go for it. You know what? I actually had a teacher my senior year, Mr. Green. He was my government teacher. And he would allow you to come in, if you came in on your lunch period, I think it was like Thursdays, he would allow you to come in on your lunch. If you gave up your lunch and sat in his class during lunch, he would actually go through the test, give you all the questions, and give you all the answers. But he required you to get that information by coming in at lunch. So I did that every Thursday, and I aced the test every Friday. But I wasn't turning in something that I was trying to deceive him on. He knew that I was there on Friday and got all the answers. I wasn't trying to cover up anything. That's not cheating. That's valid. That's not deceit. That's honesty. It's revealing the truth. You can talk about it in your So What group. Keep your question, write your question down, and ask your So What leader. Your point there, guys, is that deceit is attempting to hide the truth, and that cheating is deceit. It's an attempt to hide the truth. So how is this a big deal? Let's go on. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. It says, then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. We don't know how Peter found out about that. It's possible that, like, word got around, or he had heard from the people who bought it how much he sold it for. I don't know. Maybe the Holy Spirit, God just told Peter, and Peter, you know, he's like, they sold that for $100, and he's going to give you $80 for it. Maybe that happened. I don't know. But he knows. Somehow he knew that that it wasn't the full amount. He was coming and saying, this is the amount I got for the land. And he said, no. And he says, didn't it belong to you? See, he puts a statement out here that is going, it was yours. It was yours to do whatever you wanted with. You know what? Ananias could have kept all the money for himself. He wasn't obligated to turn that money in. Remember, it was by choice. Everyone was doing it by choice. He could have kept all the money for himself and not made a big, you know, it wasn't a big deal. He could have given all the money, as maybe he should have done, and said so. you know, hey, this is all the money I got from the land, and I just want to, you know, give it. He could have given only part of the money, like he did, and he could have just said so. He could have said, you know what? We've got some expenses right now that we're going to need, you know, we just want to keep some money back from this, but here's some of the money for it. That would have worked. But he chose to deceive, to hide the real truth. You guys have lots of ways. We have lots of ways that we can respond to a really tough test that's coming up in school. We have lots of different ways that we can respond to a paper that is going to be really hard to write. But when you cheat, you're choosing to deceive. However you do that, even in small ways. See, I actually cheated plenty when I was in junior high and high school. But most of my cheating wasn't real blatant, like, you know, turning in someone else's full paper. But what I would do is I would, like, you know, look up someone else's paper and then, like, rewrite it. Not do any research on my own, but I'd just kind of rewrite what they had. Which wouldn't have been a big deal if I would have turned that in and said, you know what, I actually used someone else's paper and I kind of just rewrote it. But I knew I was doing something wrong. I knew I was trying to hide the truth from my teacher. And he finishes up with something that's very, very interesting and very, very key for us. He says, you have not lied just to human beings. He says, you haven't just lied to me. He says, you've lied to God. He says, your issue, Ananias, is not just between you and me. Not you just trying to deceive me and deceive the church. But your issue is with God. That's the real issue. Your issue, guys, if you're cheating on a regular basis, or maybe you just cheat once, whatever it is. When you cheat, your issue is not just with your teacher, trying to hide the truth from your teacher. Your issue is God. The more important issue is that it's affecting your relationship with God. It is a complete lie. Do not fool yourselves into believing that you can say the statement, everything's great with me and God. Oh yeah, I cheat. But everything's great with me and God. I cheat all the time, but me and God, we're good. It's a lie. It's a lie. You're cheating against God. You're deceiving against God. Your issue's with Him. Cheating affects your relationship with God. That's the point there. But you know what? Honestly, some of you guys may be going, really? Is it really that big of a deal? Even deceiving. It's not really that big of a deal. Look at verse 5. We're going to see it's actually a pretty big deal to God. It says, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Right after hearing what Peter had to say, he died. And, you know, there's like an obvious thing here. Great fear seized everyone. Then in verse 6, he says, then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you paid and Ananias got for the land? Deceitful response coming. Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. Imagine hearing that. I'd be like, oh my gosh. At that moment, she fell down dead at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. I just go, duh, great fear. Imagine if you came to youth group one night and someone's like, hey, you know what? You know, Jesse and Rachel were gossiping the other day. And they both fell over dead. When we would be all like, oh no, I'm never gonna gossip again. You know, they were like freaking out because They had done this, like, not that big of a deal. Just deceiving. It was their own money. They were just hiding a little bit of the truth. And they fell over dead. And it wasn't just a coincidence, because obviously, maybe you could have said, oh, you know, Ananias just had a heart condition or something. But then his wife came in and fell over dead too. The point is not that God is going to strike you dead when you cheat. Probably not going to happen. The issue is integrity. You guys know that word? All you guys who went to camp know about integrity because it's one of the HPI. It's the I in the HPI. It's integrity. Integrity is this. It's doing the right things whether people are watching or not. It's doing the right thing whether someone's going to know or not. It's consistently doing the right thing. That's what God cares about. And God killed Ananias and Sapphira not only to put fear and respect and understanding the how important deceit is to these guys, but he killed Ananias and Sapphira so that you would understand how important deceit is. That's not just a small little thing. Cheating, everybody does it. Come on. Really. Everybody does it. And you honestly might, I hope some of you guys, especially you guys who are going, you know, I cheat all the time. I cheat on a regular basis. I hope, you know, you might be going, this is not going to be good if I decide not to cheat anymore. Because you might be going, you know what, I have so much pressure on me. And I understand you guys got a lot of pressure on you to do well. That your grades are right so that you can get a scholarship to get into college. That your grades are right so when you bring your report card home, your parents don't ream you. You're under a lot of pressure. But the question is, are you going to trust God? You know, last year we started out talking about this idea of the bottom line, which is that God is in control, he knows what's best, and he loves us. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that he loves you enough and cares about you enough and is in control enough and knows what's best enough for you? That you can trust him enough not to cheat? Proverbs 11:1 says, the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. These guys used to do this thing, these merchants used to do this thing where they had these scales when they would sell stuff. You know, have you ever seen those scales like in like a courthouse or something that have two sides to it? You guys ever seen that? There's like the scales of justice. What they would do is they'd put a weight on one side. So you put like a 1 pound weight on one side, then you'd pour grain into the other side, and then once it leveled out, you knew that that was 1 pound of grain. Makes sense, right? But what they would do is they would mess with the weights, because they knew when they sold something that if they put a weight that said 1 pound on it, but it was really like 3/4 of a pound, and they stuck it on there, then they could sell something that they got money for 1 pound, but they only had to get rid of 3/4 of a pound of their stuff. Kind of a good way to do it. Deceiving. Covering up. So the Lord, Yahweh, again, it's that Yahweh word, that personal name of God, Yahweh, our friend, our God, detests that. Integrity, it's important to God. Luke 16:10 says this. Says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. You might still be going, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a little thing. Cheating. Not a big deal. But he finishes up a parable that he had just given, and this is the moral to his parable. It's the parable of the shrewd manager. And I won't tell you the whole parable, but he says this is the point that I was trying to make by this parable, which is this. If you are dishonest with little things, you are going to be dishonest with big things. You are going to be. Not because I said, but because Jesus says it. God says it. You might go, you know what? It's just a quiz. It's not even worth hardly, it's like worth 10 points or something. It's just a quiz. It's not a big deal. It's just one paper that I have to write. I did 3 papers this semester. This is just the 4th one. I was good on those other 3. It's just this one. Not a big deal. It's just this class. All the rest of my classes are good. I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to do the right thing in those classes. But this is just one class. I don't like this class anyway. I don't even learn anything from this class. It's not a big deal. But that pattern is going to follow you. If you're dishonest in these seemingly small things, in your mind you go, small things, not a big deal. When the pressure comes of the big things, when things really matter, when you're going to flunk a class in college that you're going to have to take again if you don't pass this midterm, which, by the way, happens in pretty much every college class, do you think you're going to be any less likely, now that you've set that pattern early in your life, that you're going to be any less likely to cheat right then? Cheat small, you're going to cheat in the big things. When you are a husband or a wife and you have a family and you have a job, and if you really are honest about a mistake you made at work, you think you might get fired, or you think you're really going to be honest about that at that point? If your pattern has been that in the past? No, it's going to be easier to be dishonest in the big things when you've been dishonest in the small things. Because probably you've benefited from cheating, some of you guys. I would bet you've benefited from cheating. You're going to see those benefits in the big things too. But the good news to this is, if you really want to submit your life to God, if you really want to go, God, I want to do what you want in my life, then when you're honest in the small things, you're going to be honest in the big things. When you do the right thing in the small situations, you're going to do the right thing in the big situations. It's going to be a lot easier to do it then. Proverbs 16:8 says this. It says, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Some of you guys go, I know for a fact that if I stop cheating tomorrow, if I don't ever cheat again, if I don't ever, you know, turn in work that's not mine, I am going to get a C in this class that I know I can get an A in. I know it. It's going to happen. You know what? Better a C doing the right thing than an A doing the wrong thing. Final questions at the bottom of your handout, guys, says, in what ways has deceit crept into your life? It's kind of a broader question even than what we're talking about tonight. In what ways has deceit crept into your life, hiding the truth? And how will you respond to what God is showing you? That's the question, guys. That's the essence of faith. Faith is not just knowing the word. Lots of people know what the word says. Lots of people know what God wants from their lives. Faith is going, God, I trust you enough that I'm going to hear your word and I'm going to obey it. I'm going to listen and I'm going to respond. How are you guys going to respond tonight? Let's pray. We'll go to our groups. God, I just thank you for your truth. I thank you for how clear it is. I thank you in a very weird way for the example you showed us in Ananias and Sapphira. That God, cheating is a big deal. Deceit is a big deal. And God, I pray that we would learn to treat it that way. All deceit in our lives. That we would treat it with the utmost importance. And that it would drive us to you. That as we maybe see deceit in our lives, as I see deceit in my life, that would drive us to you and go, God, I want to live the life you've called me to live. And I can only do that when I trust you, when I depend on you, when when I'm empowered by your Holy Spirit. That's the only way I can do it. God, if some of us are being convicted by your word tonight, God, I pray that we would be driven to you. Not driven to our own efforts, but driven to trusting you. Pray this all in your name.